Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Galatians, the 4th chapter. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's a feast of the Virgin Mary, a blessed among women, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, the mother of God. And she was once commemorated on this day in the manner of most saints' days, this being her heavenly birthday, the day of her death or her falling asleep. This day also came to be observed as the Assumption of Mary. That's the teaching that her body and soul were assumed up into heaven like Enoch or like Elijah, whether that was before or after her falling asleep. But of these things the scriptures do not speak. We Christians are very interested in what the scriptures do speak. And today we hear St. Paul's only speaking at all about the Blessed Virgin Mary. He doesn't even call her by name. She's simply the woman of whom the Son of God is born. Well, that seems a little strange, doesn't it? Mary is an important figure in the Bible. She's in the upper room with the apostles at Acts. She has no minor part in the gospel, especially in St. Luke's gospel. And that's the very same Luke who was with Paul all the time, the last one to stay with him, his frequent companion. It's even plausible that Paul knew something of Luke's preparations, or maybe even of his writings of Luke and Acts. And Luke might have even spoken to Mary herself as his source. So on his commemoration day, wouldn't it be nice if Paul were a bit more interested in what the scriptures say about Mary? But indeed, Paul writes with true apostolic authority from Christ Jesus himself, and though he is brief, he has not ignored or contradicted what the scriptures say about Mary in the least. Rather, he has focused our attention on the chief teachings surrounding Mary, and for very good reason. It's remarkably easy for us to wander off into myths and speculations, and even step-by-step conclusions that pretty soon lead us very far away from the scriptures and from Christ Jesus. The history of the church, probably especially this feast day, shows us that this is more than just a possibility. It is a repeated pitfall among Christians, especially among pious Christians, which I know you are. We do not need to fear St. Mary. We don't need to omit her or denigrate her just to be safe. But we do need to acknowledge the serious conflations and errors, even, that have been drawn from logic and from tradition and from inference rather than from the scriptures themselves. It's always necessary for us, dear friends, to hear what the Word of God actually says. From the apostle, then, we hear that God sent His Son, just as St. John the Evangelist also said it, born not of the will of a man, but born of woman only, that is, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Savior is true God and true man. We faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize in it how highly God has favored us, humbling Himself to raise us up, taking on not the form of an angel or of a mighty beast, but of humanity. The church is accustomed in the Nicene Creed and in the Te Deum to bow and even to kneel before this great fact of our Savior, the only one to whom we gladly bend the knee. He is incarnate, and not simply as a temporary gesture of his favor, but he is incarnate to win and to effect eternal salvation out of his great favor. God's Son became incarnate that he might freely submit himself to his own law in perfect obedience, to buy us back from its unfulfilled demands and requisite punishments by bearing these in our place. And all of this, as St. Paul lays out briefly but beautifully, in all of this, God makes an exchange with us out of his freedom by giving his Son. This is how he adopts us as sons in Christ. By bearing our debts to the law, he gives his obedience to the law. We are purchased and won by the precious blood of God so that we might become heirs of the treasures of God himself. Now, is this not also precisely what we learn about Mary and what we learn through Mary in the Gospel of Luke? The angel announces God's undeserved favor to her. She is the lowly one. She's exalted by God's undeserved kindness. She truly is the mother of God, of the Lord. No doubt, for her part in God's plan of salvation, she receives blessing and honor, and she ought to receive great honor so that we might call her blessed in every generation. But let us listen and learn from the scriptures how we ought to define that slippery word that she has a part in salvation. Because Elizabeth and Gabriel and Christ Jesus and even Mary herself all tell us that faith is the means of her participation, of her partaking in this. It is no act, it is no merit, it is no condition of Mary that contributes or co-works the world's salvation. It is the favor of God that is bestowed on her. It is the power of God that comes and overshadows her and then conceives in her. And above all, it is the Word of God that makes her blessed. And we get to sing this for most of the year whenever we sing Matins. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. In this way, Mary was given a unique part in salvation as the Mother of God. But in this very same way, we too have our part in the Lord's salvation. And this is the part he has for us: to be beneficiaries, to be recipients of his favor, to be the ones whom he has redeemed, and as ones to whom God in his scriptures speaks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.